Now, there is a strong confidence that we can have in his presence. Or can I say this? There is a strong confidence that we have in prayer. Did you know that you can talk to God as a complete friend? That complete friend. Did you know that you can speak to God like Abraham spoke to God? Now, there ought to be a reverence there. We never undermine that reverence, you know, that comes with it. I think we can cross a line. We've got to maintain that reverence and awe of God. He is holy. There ought to be the sense of fear and trembling. But listen, there's this wonderful balance that when you come before his presence, he lets you know, he ministers to your heart. There's a confidence there, there's an assurance that yet the way I'm approaching him is, you know, favorable, and he's hearing me. This is good. My heart is not condemning me. There's no condemnation. There's no guilty conscience. I am free and liberated because I've seen who he is. I know who he is, and I'm not taking advantage of that. But yet, at the very same time, I am relying upon his love of invitation of come unto me. And I come. I live out that, and I come, and I talk, and we commune. You know, there's a communion there. There's a hearing from God. I can't explain it to you, but there's a confidence, a strong confidence that I know if I pray, it's going to be heard. And there are other times that when you're praying, you know you're going through the motions. You know there's nothing there. And that you can have emotion in it, and it can go for 1 hour. Yes. But you can just go out and put out the bins and have a little word of prayer, and you know he's hearing you. Yeah. You know you're right. There's a sweet communion with God. There's this confidence that only God can give before his presence, and only those prayers we can be heard. You know they're heard. You know he's hearing you. I don't think there's a greater joy in prayer than knowing that God's ear is unto your prayer. Amen. The psalmist had this. I cried, the psalmist said, unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me. You know what that means? He knew that God heard him. There was a close communion to the very point where God, I'm not just speaking into the air. I'm not just speaking vain repetition, but God is hearing my cry. And you know he is. Listen, this is the strong confidence that we have. The psalmist said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. Amen. The psalmist said, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord and he heard me and he heard me. I love Psalm 84. Psalm 84, you see the heart of the psalmist of how he wants to be in the presence of God. And he begins and he says this, how amenable, how lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for thy courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thy altars. O Lord, my host, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, whose passing through the valley of Baca, make it as a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O God, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thy anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Look at verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will withhold from them that what? Walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. No good thing will withhold from them that walk uprightly. You know where this strong confidence comes from? It's walking uprightly. It's walking uprightly. So what does walking uprightly consist of? Well, number one, it consists of having a hatred towards sin. There you go. You're going to hear it sometime. Sin is a great separator between God and man. It always has been. It was the sin of one man that cursed the whole world. It was the sin of disobedience that kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden. There they had the presence of God. We cannot undermine sin. You know, John the Apostle said, if we say we have no sin, we make him to be a liar. You know what he was trying to say? He's just saying, hey, we have to first admit the fact that we have sin. We are capable of sinning. We can sin. And sin breaks fellowship with God. John says that, you know, your joy may be full. How? By your fellowship with the Son and the Father. But however, sin is the very thing that hinders that confidence that we have toward God. Sin in our life. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, have a look at Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. Allow me a little bit more time tonight since that we haven't had Wednesday night devotion. Proverbs chapter 13, we've had a good time singing as well and sharing blessings and hearing those wonderful prayer requests of others interceding for others. And we're not bound by time at times, amen. We don't have to pack up and set up the chairs. Thank God for that. It's like that's an hour right there. Amen. Yeah. Proverbs 13, look at verse 5. A righteous man, what does he do? He hateth lying. That's the upright man. That's the man that is upright. But a wicked man is lonesome. He cometh to shame. Look at verse 6. Righteousness keepeth him that he is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. You see, it's there. A righteous man hateth lying, and righteousness keeps us what? Upright, and no good thing will withhold from them that walk uprightly. That's an answer to prayer. God is, your prayers will not be hindered, rather heard. God will receive your prayers rather than rejecting them. I think that's a blessing. Amen. To who? The upright, the righteous one, the one that hates lying. The psalmist said, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. Let them have not dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. Then shall I be upright. The psalmist, Psalm 119, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. To be upright is to hate sin. And it's also to confess my sin. Psalm 16, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not what? Hear me. Something that can hinder the confidence that we have in prayer is unconfessed sin. When we have sin in our lives and we fail to confess it, James says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. For the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth what? Much. Of a righteous man. And a man that confesses his sin is a righteous man. Sensitive to sin, understands is inevitable to sin. And when he sees it, he hates it. Even in his own life, he cannot stand it. He detests it. He knows it's there. And he hates it. He hates lying. He hates guile. He hates wickedness. He hates hypocrisy in his own life. He hates it. Cannot stand it. And the Lord knows how much he abhors it. The Lord knows the condition of his heart, how he cannot stand it. He hates it. Psalm 15. Have a look at Psalm 15. Psalm 15 says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly. Yes. He that worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh a reproach against his neighbor. Who will dwell, by the way, the presence of God? Knowing the presence of God brings strong confidence to your prayers that you can ask of him. You run to him. You don't run away from him. And when you pray and cry out to the Lord, you know he's hearing you. And you know when he's resisting you. You know when they fall flat to the ground. You know there's something wrong with your relationship. You know, one word, one thought, one action can grieve the Spirit of God. Did you know that? And we must be aware that certain things, certain words, certain thoughts can actually hinder the presence of God in our lives and that fellowship. We must be aware of that very thing because that there is the upright man. He understands when sin is ever before him. He knows when sin is at the door. He can smell it. He's sensitive to it. He knows when it's about to creep from here to here. Why does he know this? Because he's not in a habit of committing it. That's why. He's not loose with his tongue. This is the upright man. He's not flippant, if you will. There is a soberness. There's a control over the tongue and over the heart, over his steps, his eyes. He knows when he's going to double look at that wicked billboard. He knows there's a spasm that's taking place in his neck already. And he's not going to do it. We live in a wicked world, folks. We need to be very careful of guarding our eyes and ears and mouth and so forth. We must remember that those truths are still there. We must be careful when you're watching something wholesome, perhaps on YouTube, those wicked commercials that come on. Did you know, just one glance, one thing, you know, if we're not sensitive to it and we become accustomed to it, Ichabod. Do you understand that the upright man abhors these things? He's disgusted with these things. He cannot stand these things. It smites his heart. Now that's going on here. You may never see it in the life of a person that's upright because he doesn't flaunt. It may be going on in here. The struggle's here and God knows it's there. Hatred for sin. And when God shows sin, he detests it even in his own life. Not only this, to walk uprightly means to have a forgiving spirit. Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive. Why is it hard for people to forgive? Why is it? What causes someone to not have a forgiving spirit? Why do people hold grudges? Why is it? Why is it difficult for someone? I'll tell you, go to Ephesians chapter 4. A heart that harbors resentment towards others will definitely hinder the prayers that they pray. Look at Ephesians 4. Look at verse 31. Verse 31. Notice what the Bible says there in Ephesians 4, verse 31. Let all what? And wrath, and anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another. How? Okay, so you have a heart that is tender. It's tender. It's that tender. And then you have a heart that's hard. It's so hard. It takes time for that person to be broken in order for them to forgive. Why? Because they've allowed bitterness and wrath and anger to fester in their heart. And therefore, it's made that hard heart like clay. And there are certain things in that person's life that must take place to soften that heart, to make it tender again. But if you keep your heart tender, and you allow God to break you every time you sin that comes before you, you're broken. Doesn't matter how big it is. You're just constantly broken because of that little thought that you thought that was, where did that come from? Yeah. Ah! When you think of something, it's just wicked. Where did that come from? That's a wicked thought. You know, majority of the time, people get discouraged and depressed because they harbor, or they entertain, I should say, evil thoughts, wicked imaginations. You know, your mind can be your worst enemy at times, especially when you listen to those negative thoughts that are not true and you're not thinking on good reports, things that are lovely. Yeah, when you're just thinking on things that are ugly and you're just thinking of these things and, you know, you can win and lose battles in your mind. Did you know you can create enemies in your own mind? Did you know that? You can make up stories. You can start thinking that there are people against you when they're not. It's disgusting. It's absolutely wicked. So what do? You keep that heart tender. You don't have a hard heart and tender heart. Look at this, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Keeping your heart tender is knowing how much you've been forgiven and how much you don't deserve to be. You know, honestly, when we think about it, how many times have we messed up? How many times have we failed God? How many times? How many? And we plunge ourselves at the mercy of God and we say, God, please forgive me. So why is it we cannot forgive others if God forgives us? Well, this is what Jesus said. He says, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. When you want to ask mercy from God for certain things, you need to show mercy. William MacDonald said, forgiveness is a readiness to pardon offenses, to overlook personal wrongs against oneself, and to harbor no desire for retaliation. Fourthly, to walk uprightly means to be sensitive towards our wives, for those that have them. Have a look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, why is God specifically talking to the man? Well, if you look at scripture, God holds man more responsible because he's supposed to lead. He's supposed to be the example in the home. He's supposed to guide the house in a way where he's an example, setting himself as an example to others. He says, likewise, ye husbands, look at verse 7, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not what? Hindered. You know, my prayers can be hindered. There'll be no confidence whatsoever when I pray if I'm insensitive to the needs of my wife, insensitive to every need, emotional need, perhaps physical need, spiritual need, meeting her need. You know, the world tells us different things, such as you can never understand your wife. Don't even try. They write books about it. Well, the Bible says he dwell according to knowledge. You can grow to know your wife, what she doesn't like, what she likes. You know, what's a good thing to do? And I do it every now and then. And I did it even before this devotion. I said, Janet, have I been neglecting you? I was like, here it comes. And then she said, no. Because there ought to be that sense of desire in a man where he wants to take care of his wife and protect his wife and make sure she's okay. What are you praying for people out there for? What are you praying interceding for the lost and sinners when you can't intercede for your spouse? And you have the ability to do it. God wants us to pray for them, but maybe we're the answer to prayer. We meet that need. If we're going to reach sinners, why are we neglecting to reach our spouse and love our spouse? Over here, it says, dwell according to knowledge and give honor, other respect to the wife. You know, women today are so disrespected. Now, I don't know your relationship between your wife. All I'm saying to you is this. If for you to have strong confidence before the Lord and your prayers be heard and you're having sweet communion with him, you must have sweet communion with your wife. That's all I'm saying. And vice versa too. Wife, you must have sweet communion with your husband, respecting him. Because moments before this verse, it talks about how you need to revere your husband, like Sarah did to Abraham. It's just that one time that we can neglect. By the way, if you hear it, and at times you may hear it when you say, have I neglected you? And she said, in this area, that doesn't mean that's it, you've failed and go put your head in the sand. That means you pick it up from there and you say, okay, I'm going to be better at it from here. I want to walk uprightly. Yeah, it's nothing. Hey, we're not going to get it right all the time. And thank God for wives that are patient. Thank God for them. And wives that pray for their husbands. But there's nothing wrong to approach and say, and you might hear it. It's humbling. But you don't stay down. You humble yourself and you say, God, give me the grace to meet the need of my bride. The bride that I said once upon a time, I love you, I do. I want to be with you forever, for richer or for poorer. Amen? Yes. And then to walk uprightly means to trust and obey. Have a look at Proverbs 28 verse 9. Proverbs 28 and verse 9. The Bible says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be a what? Abomination. You know, when you're trusting and obeying and walking in the will of God. And by the way, there's no safer place to be in the will of God, where God wants you to be. But when you trust and obey, and God is bringing some things your way, and you adhere to those things that he brings your way through a word or friend or whatever it is, and you trust the Lord and you obey, that you're not going to be afraid of the Bible. You're not going to be afraid sitting under the word of God, especially when you have that disposition where you're ready to hear so you can go out there and do. If you're not ready to hear so you can go out and live out, because none of us in this room has executed this book, have we? No, we're growing. But if we're going to sit here thinking that we've executed it and what's the preacher have now, or what I'm going to hear now, I'm going to be threatened by them, we're finished. But if we have a tender heart to hear from the word of God and say, God, I want to hear from your word. Is it true? Yes, I want to trust and obey and move forward. My prayers can go before God in a way that is, I've got confidence. They're going to be heard. Why? Because I'm tender to his word. I want to do what he tells me to do and obey his word. Have a look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. When you're tender to the word of God, when you want to trust the word, you want to obey the word of God, It doesn't become a threat to you. It's not a burden to you. Why? Because you're burdened for it. You want to keep it. You want to do what this Bible says. You want to trust the Lord. You want to walk with the Lord. You're not afraid from the law. The law or the word of God or the commandments of God, they're not a threat to you because you desire to do it because you love him. And so, but if you turn your ear away and you don't want to hear it, you don't want to hear it, you don't want to hear preaching, you don't want to hear the word of God because it's convicting, then your prayers are just going to really, they're not going to mean much. If we don't get serious about the word of God, why would God take us serious with what we're praying for? God will take us serious about what we're praying for when we're serious about keeping this book and obeying the word. Listen, I need to keep this book as much as I teach it. And every time I teach this book, I'm responsible to keep it. I also become a hypocrite. We ought not to be afraid from the word of God. If it's in the book and it's true, we ought to receive it and prepare our heart to receive it every time we're under it or in it. But if we're not, we're just stubborn. We don't want to be under the word of God. We don't want to hear the word of God for whatever reason. Why would God ever hear our prayer? Why would we have ever strong confidence to come before him? 1 John, look at this. Beloved, look at verse 21. Beloved, if our heart, what? Condemn us not. Then we have confidence toward God. See that? Why do we have a condemned heart at times? Why? Why is our conscience bothered? Why? Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we, why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are what? Pleasing in his sight. See, the trusting and obeying is there. Because we cannot please God without what? Faith. You know, when you have faith, it's connected with obedience. Because faith is trusting the word of God. Okay, it's connected. They're both together. Verse 23. And this is his commandment. This is specific now. A specific commandment that we should believe on him, on the name of his son, Jesus. And look at this. And love one another as he gave us commandment. You're going to see this repetitive in the book of 1 John. Loving your brother, loving your brother, loving your brother. Loving your brother. It's so important, and specifically in this area of loving your brother with a pure, fervent heart, unfeigned love toward the brethren, without hypocrisy, without dissimulation. I'm telling you now, if you have that love toward your brother or sister, you can walk with God in sweet communion. But I tell you this, if you have anything against your brother, there's a bitterness, I'm telling you right now, you will not be heard. This is one of the greatest commandments, is to love God and love your neighbor. There's a sweet communion when you have pure love for God. And Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments, and a pure love for your neighbor. Paul says to Timothy, I will have that men will pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Holy hands, cleansed hands. They're holy. Come before God. I beseech God. They're dirty. He doesn't want dirty hands. Dirty hands is when you have unconfessed sin. You come before God with wrath when you have bitterness toward your neighbor. You're holding grudges, resentment, unforgiving spirit. Yep. And doubting. Why do we doubt? I believe because we have dirty hands. Why do we doubt? It's because there's something here towards someone else. In other words, it's going to hinder our prayer. It's going to hinder the very posture of beseeching God. And praying and worshiping God. This is why holy hands is so important. And this is why not having resentment in our hearts toward others is so important. That we love them with a pure love. And therefore we can pray without doubting. Our prayer will be lifted up before. There's nothing between me and God. And there's nothing between me and man. That doesn't mean that people are not going to have aught against you. Don't get me wrong. But in your heart, there's no malice. There's nothing. And so, Jesus said, in all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Have a look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Now, that's strong confidence. If you ever saw a definition of strong confidence in prayer, it's right there. Tuning our hearts to the will of God is so important. Making sure that when we pray, it's according to God's will. You ever think about how Isaiah came to Hezekiah and said to him, Hezekiah, you're going to die. What happened to Hezekiah when he found that out? He prayed. He wept. And the Bible says that God heard, or God saw his weeping and added several years more to his life. Now, if it was according to the will of God, it's according to the will of God. But his prayer still made a difference. How do you know if it's going to be according to the will of God if you don't pray? Did you know we can change things by our prayers, and it could be according to the will of God? Now, there are certain things that God have decreed. They're going to happen with or without us. But there are certain times, but we pray and we ask and He hears us and He gives. You have not because you want. You ask not. So He's saying to us, I already know what you need before you ask. But listen, I want you to ask. If you don't ask, you're not going to have it. And it could be according to His will. But many a times we don't ask. We're not true in God. I'll tell you why. Because we're not right up. We're not upright. If we're upright and we're walking with the Lord, whatever we pray, and if it's according to His will, He'll give it to us. How many things have we missed? How many things have we missed because we didn't pray? And it was according to God's will, but only if we'd pray. But we didn't pray because we weren't right. Brethren, come on, let's just get this for a moment here. God won't invite us to pray if He didn't want to answer it. That's one of the strongest confidence that we can have, that knowing that God wants to answer our prayer more than we want to answer it. Understand that? Do you get that? That God wants to answer our prayer more than we want to answer it? What a blessing. What an absolute blessing. One more, we're done. Actually, go to Ephesians chapter 3 under this one. I don't want to miss this passage. And then we'll have one more and we're done. Ephesians chapter 3. What a wonderful thing to have strong confidence to come before the Lord and have our prayers answered. You know, we're in God's presence. We're communion with God. We know that His ear is under us. He can hear us and we know we've been heard. Whoa, that's just absolutely... His face is shining upon us. It's almost like He lets us know in the Spirit of God that lives within us, I've heard you. And you know you've been heard. Man, sweet communion with God. Being heard by God, knowing you're heard, knowing His ear is unto you. Do you ever experience the silence of God? Sometimes the silence of God is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. God is still doing something special. That's special in itself. Because there's almost like a thirst running after God in a dry and thirsty land. You just want to seek Him. But there are other times, honestly, you know you're heard and it's like water's gushing down. And your mouth is full and He satisfies and quenches that thirst. And there's joy in your heart, unspeakable. Because you're upright. You're walking with God. It's sweet. It's beautiful. But listen, it just takes one incident, one thing to get you out of that way. That's just how, from day to day, we need to be very careful. Look at Ephesians 3. Look at verse 8. Paul the Apostle says, unto me, who am less than least of all the saints. Now, we could just sit there for a moment and say, is less than least than all the saints. Less than the least of all the saints. Paul. Yeah. He saw his disposition, didn't he? I don't think it was a proud statement. I think he really saw himself as nothing and unworthy before God. And that's the disposition that God wants every single one of us. I'm less I'm less than all the least of the saints. Man. Anyway, let's just keep moving. In this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He saw the privilege in doing that. He says, and to make all men see, look at this, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at this. In whom we have what? Boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. If Christianity just stopped at the fact that we're going to heaven and that was it, you know what's the greatest thing about Christianity? Is the relationship that we have with him and with his son, Jesus Christ. That is the greatest thing by far. And the reason why we want to be with him up there is so we can continue that fellowship in a more sweet way without this body hindering us. Have a look at number 6. To walk uprightly means to fear the Lord, and we're done. Have a look at Proverbs 14, verse 26. Proverbs 14 and verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong what? Confidence. And his children have a place of refuge. Oh, that strong confidence when we fear God. You know, that's a healthy kind of fear. The fear of man is unhealthy. It actually moves us away from doing that which pleases God. It's a snare. The fear of man bringeth a what? Snare. But whosoever putteth their trust in the Lord shall be made what? Safe. But the fear of the Lord, there's a strong confidence there. And his children have a place of refuge. Look at verse 2. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. But he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. I like what a man of God once said. He says, a man's conduct is a reflection of his attitude toward the Lord. The righteous man is guided by what he knows will please God. And that's the fear of the Lord. Listen, and that is walking upright, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And someone that walks upright is one that fears the Lord. One that fears the Lord is someone that has a strong desire to please him by faith. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is. That's important. That's not just there to take up space in the Bible. If I understand the revelation of God and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and knowing my Father in that intimate, deep level through the pages of this book, and continue to love him and be intimate with him and serve him and continue to grow, I will diligently seek him and he will reward me. There's a reward for that. And that's the strong confidence. You know, answered to prayer is such an encouragement. When I pray and God answers, and I watch and I pray and I see God at work, that's God's favor. He's his reward upon me, and it's addictive. It's an absolute addictive. And I know that one thing can cause me to be out of the way and not upright, and will hinder that good thing that God wills for us. One psalm and we're done. Psalm 112. I really like this psalm. Psalm 112. We won't read the whole psalm. We'll just read 1-4. And we're done. Thank you for your time this evening. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. That's important. That's important. He just doesn't delight. Well, this is fine, but he delights greatly. in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the what? Upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth what? Light in the darkness. That's the strong confidence. That is why? Because God is light. And if we walk in the light, then we have what? Fellowship with one another. That's so important. The light that God gives in darkness is the strong confidence that we have and is evidence that we're in fellowship. That's important. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Strong confidence, having your prayers answered. We have a good God. You know what I love about him? Everything that you said and some, that he wants to hear our cry and answer our prayers, and that he's mindful of us and he wants his will to be fulfilled in our lives. And that's what brings God glory. When his will is fulfilled and we are used to bring glory to him by doing what he tells us to do in his word. His will that is done on earth as it is in heaven, and we're used as a vessel to bring God glory that way. But we must believe and follow and love his commandments and not be ashamed. We must fellowship and hear his voice and know what he wants us to do and do it. This is the strong confidence that we have. God wants to do the impossible, and he can only do it with those that walk upright and that fear him. The commandments that he has before us is, as I mentioned before, to love one another. This is how the whole world's going to know that you are his disciples. You know what's happening today, brethren? I'm seeing it more and more, and I don't want to be a statistic, but let me just say this to you. The lack of love from the brethren is absolutely appalling in our day of Christendom. It will take one thing from somebody to give up and get out. You can have friendship that go for 10 years and it's gone in a heartbeat. Thinking, what? Why? And I know, and I'm for it, and you know I'm for it, that I am not saying that we have a wishy-washy love on the expense of truth. No, truth always must be preeminent. There's no love on the expense of truth. But we can still have truth and love. Did you know that? We can. It's just, to what degree? Our enemies. Our enemies. Pray for your enemies. Amen. Pray for those that have hurt you. Pray for them. Plead for them. Do you know why there was favor on Job? Do you know why at the end that God restored back two times more? Was it two times more? Do you know why? Because he started to pray for his friends. Read it. It pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord when Job started to pray for his friends. And you know, you see his friends, they gave it to him. They hammered him. What'd he do? He finally knelt down and said, you know what? I'm going to pray for him. Brethren, if we pray for one another, if we pray fervently for one another, that won't give any room for the devil to come in and hinder the work of God. I tell you that. And then we can have strong confidence before God. Is that right? That's right. I understand some of you need to go, but I just wanted to share that with you. And make sure that every single one of us can have confidence when we pray, and that we hear God. You know, God is hearing us when we pray, and it starts with praying in a way that pleases God.